guys, welcome to episode 163 of the OCDstories.com podcast. Now, in this episode, I had a chat with clinical psychologist Stephen Phillipson. He's been on the podcast several times. In fact, he was on it last week. So I hope you enjoyed that episode. But in this, we talk about another topic called altered states of consciousness. This is something that some people experience after excessive use of cannabis or use of magic mushrooms. So people with OCD, it can almost spark a state of depersonalization, and then that becomes a constant obsession and the compulsion to try and get back to how they once felt. These two substances have been known to trigger that. Now, this episode isn't in any way trying to be stigmatizing towards these two substances. It is more just trying to delve into this experience that some people go through, because it's not widely talked about on the internet. And if you're in that position, hopefully this episode sheds some light on it, sheds some ways out of it, and how traditional ERP and CBT therapy can help you through that and work through the symptoms of altered states of consciousness and depersonalization. So I hope you find this useful. Without further ado, here is Dr. Stephen Phillipson. Welcome back to the show, Stephen.
It's always good to be here, Stu.
Good. The previous episode on teletherapy went live last week. We're actually recording this back-to-back, so it's odd me saying that. But for those listening, you heard it last week. So today we're going to talk about altered states of consciousness. So what are altered states of consciousness?
Altered states of consciousness is a subset of OCD, probably more in line with what's referred to as the, neutral obsessions, the obsessions regarding blinking, breathing, or swallowing. There's another name that's also referred to those obsessions other than neutral obsessions, but I'm blanking on it right now. Do you remember, it's something to do with like physiology or...
Oh, somatic?
Yeah, that's it. Thank you so much. I've just had a senior moment there. Okay, so with altered states of consciousness, it's an obsession that is predominantly focused on a person feeling not themselves. They feel like their awareness of who they are as a person, or their experience of kind of being in one's own skin, has been altered in some way. And the common antecedents, the triggers for altered state of consciousness can be most often related to initial marijuana use, or an overdose with marijuana use, or cannabis as you call it, or shrooms, or otherwise known also as magic mushrooms. These drugs can create a sense of differentness in our experience of who we see who we are, or how we feel we typically feel kind of in our own world. And so what happens is that during a drug use, or even during a prolonged panic attack, a person can become very desperate to reestablish that they've gotten back to being the old person that they've experienced themselves to be. And the mere desperation to scrutinize, you know, am I back yet? Do I feel the way I used to yet? Is in and of itself a form of ritualizing that actually distances a person from reacquiring that status of being the familiar self that they had once been.
Yeah, it's an interesting topic. So is it in any way similar to depersonalization?
Glad you said that. And definitely depersonalization is a term that is very much integrated into this form of OCD. Depersonalization is a very common experience a person encounters during a panic attack. This is where a person feels very much not like they're used to feeling as being who they are, or what they're familiar with. And so depersonalization is the idea of being almost reflexive on looking at oneself almost from above, and being outside of one's own body, looking at your own experience from this separate place emotionally. And it's a very disorienting experience. It's very kind of off-putting and unsettling, and it's very frightening to think that you are kind of out of your own experience, out of your own body, as it were. And so people with depersonalization often also experience a fear of going crazy, a fear of psychosis, as it were, permanently becoming trapped in a separateness from one's own mind or control of one's own mind. So definitely depersonalization and altered states of consciousness are very much tied together.
Yeah, it's interesting. I have had Harris Goldberg on the show a couple of times. He's a scriptwriter and director, and he wrote the film Numb and directed it, I believe, about depersonalization and his own kind of experience with it. He has OCD, and kind of what we talked about in the second episode was now what he believes is the depersonalization was just a part of the OCD. It wasn't its thing in and of itself, which he fought while he was going through it. And for him, the reason I bring that up is because it started for he. I think he had OCD before this, but this depersonalization symptom, let's call it, happened after he smoked a lot of weed. It kind of triggered him, and he was trying forever then to try and get back to his original self, how he felt.
That is exactly a very common profile of this subset of OCD, to have it be a prolonged symptom post excessive marijuana use and or shrooms. So that's very likely. I often tell my patients who have OCD to be leery of their use of marijuana, because pot creates a concept of reality to thoughts or ideas that aren't necessarily logical or realistic. And marijuana can infuse a sense of authenticity into these ideas. So, you know, if a person has a spike and they're under the influence of marijuana, often the sense of reality of that spike can kind of go nuclear, as it were, can really be expounded upon in a very, very powerful way that then embeds the spike in a greater sense of authenticity and reality. And as anyone with OCD knows, that's the last thing you want to have happen, is have a spike seem even more real than it ordinarily does to begin with.
There's different strands of it, and some are way more psychoactive, and some will just kind of make you super relaxed, and others will make you think incredibly deeply. And when you have OCD, that's a very bad thing. Because it will set you off. I remember from my youth, it made me very paranoid, among other things, which it just exacerbated OCD symptoms.
Absolutely.
Cool. So
I'm sorry, go ahead, Steve.
No, go on.
I was going to say, in terms of treatment for this subset, it's very, very sort of under acknowledged in the OCD community. When I talk about ASC, altered states of consciousness, most people have never heard of it, and even Googling it doesn't really come up that predominantly. But it is important to know, because many persons with OCD have this sense of, as you say, depersonalization. And in terms of treatment, what's important is to give up the desperation to get back to the good old you that you are familiar with. It's important to let the brain do its own healing, let the brain find its own pathway back to that sense of familiarity, by not seeking over and over again the desperate path to recovery in terms of getting back to one's old self. And that's kind of a critical but very difficult nature of the condition. So in terms of exposure, which is a very important component in treatment, I have patients set reminders on their phone to remind themselves that they're not feeling like their good old self, that they're aware that things are different from the way they used to be, and to really find acceptance and peace with the reminder and awareness that they have not reestablished their sort of good old person.
Yeah, good point. And that's very common of OCD, right? It's the whatever the obsession is, I need to figure out I'm not this, or I didn't do X, Y, or Z, or that door handle is not contaminated. I need to know for sure. I guess is that the similar battle to what that person's facing?
Exactly. And in this regard, even I think even a little bit more difficult perhaps is the idea that I want to kind of get back to being the person that I used to be, feel sort of back within my own skin and be aware of I've reestablished the experience, the sensation of being my old self, as it were.
Yeah, very good point. So how common is this? How often do you kind of see it?
Definitely it's not in the top 25 topics of OCD. It's definitely more in the peripheral mention of OCD types. Like I said, it's sort of in that category of the somatic spikes, the neutral obsessions, the blinking, breathing, swallowing, and I'll even add to that people with floaters can be very, very focused on not wanting to be reminded that they have a floater, or even in the obsession of a song or a word getting stuck in one's head. I wanted to add that persons with this subset of OCD often have what we call a comorbidity, which is a horrible word for, and in addition to, a kind of personality style of perfectionism. Mm-hmm. This is the type of person that definitely wants things to get back to the way that they're supposed to be. And there's an instance of being aware of or feeling like I'm not the way that I should be, mm-hmm. or that I'm also kind of entitled to. So there's also a covariance, a marriage of persons with what I would call image-driven inclinations, meaning a sense of a person needs to feel like and function as they think that they're entitled to or capable of. So if, this Sunday I'll be obviously going to a friend's Super Bowl party, and I'll be around a bunch of other people. And so, each year as I go to this party, some years I'm more dramatic or outgoing than others, and I give myself license to have that variability. So people with this form of OCD have a very strict standard of how they're supposed to function at certain gatherings or certain functions, and when they fall below that perfectionistic meter, as it were, measure, they become very, very frustrated or even anxious at the idea of once again being reminded of them not being the person that they think that they're capable of.
Yeah, very good point. Okay, so you went into the treatment a minute ago, but I want to unpack it a bit more, because I think not just for people with this subtype or subset, I think also for many probably clinicians listening, they may never have come across this sort of theme.
Yeah.
So with you got the exposure side of things, and you were talking about the kind of the rigid thinking there. Is there anything else you do beyond exposure work to kind of get them to be okay with not being okay, so to speak?
Exactly. And that's where in working with personality styles We do go beyond the exposure of the reminder that a person has not reestablished their old identity, but we also talk about the nature of being human as being unavoidably reminded of our variability as humans, and work with people to lower their strict standards of and expectations of how they should be as a human being. It's always sort of surprising to me that people still are maintaining this illusion that humans can be sort of all they are or they're capable of all the time. And they really are still surprised when I introduce them to the concept of variability as being an unavoidable state of existing as a human being. So that definitely is more on the cognitive element of treatment to help patients really define and understand the nature and unavoidable aspects of being human and all the unavoidable imperfections and variability that comes with that condition.
Yeah. No, yeah, good point. And I guess I wrote this question here, which is something I don't think I usually ask you on the shows, but and a reason I think I asked this because I mean, I was doing research for this, Googling altered states of consciousness in a non-compulsive way. And there was only, with the term OCD as well, there was only, I think, one search term. Loads came up, but only one relevant search term. Website. So to me, if I'm going through this and I'm doing the usual, you know, checking for reassurance and there's nothing there, that's going to kind of put me off on a whole nother level. So I guess the reason I'm going to ask this question, I guess it is reassurance, but only because there's nothing else out there. It's just words of hope for someone who has this experience, this ASC experience. They've had an ASC experience from whatever, cannabis or magic mushrooms, and it's triggered them. And they now don't kind of feel like themselves. Yeah, just kind of words of hope about its treatment.
Sure. When you, like I said before, I really have faith in the programming of our brain as being very oriented toward self-healing, meaning if we let our brain just kind of run its own programming like a computer, the brain is oriented to kind of right itself and reestablish its natural inclination. It's when a person resents their brain for reminding them that they're not back to their old person, that resentment is in and of itself a form of ritualizing in itself. And so it's critical that patients really have faith that their brain kind of knows best and that they don't need to meddle with their brain's functioning in order to kind of get back to their old selves, as it were. And so critical is that people don't resent their brain for reminding them that they haven't yet achieved that goal of getting back to who they are. And when you achieve that goal, when you really focus on living your day-to-day life in a way that's represented by your own agenda, your own plans, your own goals and priorities, and really congratulate yourself for having the discipline and structure to live a day, taking with you the reminder that you're experientially not who you used to be, but behaviorally living the path that you have designed, that will, you know, over time reestablish your own awareness and your own experience of getting back to who you are, as long as you don't demand it or put pressure on your brain to have you arrive there.
Yeah, I love that. And I think that advice or words of wisdom kind of relate to anyone with OCD.
Sure. I mean, with OCD, other forms of it, you know, particularly, let's say, contamination or pedophile spiking, you can do a lot of very clear, aggressive exposure exercises that are very discreet. With ASC, the exposure, other than to the reminder that, hey, you're not the person you used to be, is not as easy to construct, as it were.
Yeah, good point. Okay, is there anything else on altered states of consciousness that you want to discuss?
Taking a look at my notes. I think I covered everything that I had intended. And, you know, like I said, I think that the brain is a very self-correcting mechanism. And when we meddle with that, it's kind of like people, you know, forcing themselves to get to sleep. The more that you put pressure, the more distant you are to achieving the goal. So a lot of things in our treatment with what I call independent systems, which is in this regard, the brain's reminder that, hey, you're not the person you used to be. When we let the brain kind of fix itself, it will tend to do that. We just need to not give into the desperation of meddling with our brain activity.
Yeah, really, really well put. Okay, so random question again. What would you tell your 20-year-old self if you could pick up the phone and call him?
My 20-year-old self. I would say, I at age 20, I was literally panicked about not becoming a doctor because I'm dyslexic and my board scores are horrific. So I would tell my 20-year-old self, hey, you're going to be able to have the board read to you. You're going to get much better scores than you think at this point. And you are going to become a doctor because at that point, it looked very bleak for that becoming the case. I was very upset and worried about it. I actually had a dream my junior year of university where in my dream I wasn't accepted to any doctoral programs. And in my dream, I literally spent the rest of my life in bed depressed. So I would definitely reassure that person things are going to work out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Great. Great. Cool.
And then I would also reassure that person, if you ask a woman to dance and she says no, it's not because you're a loser. It's because you're not her cup of tea. I'd put that in there also.
Yeah. Cool. Well, yeah. Thank you again for coming on. I appreciate it and talking about this rarely discussed topic.
You're welcome. It was good speaking to you once again, Stu, as always.
Cool. So there you have it. Really hope you found my conversation with Dr. Stephen Phillipson useful and helpful. And quick disclaimer, guys, this podcast is not therapy. It is not a replacement for therapy. Please seek treatment from a trained professional. And until we speak, take care.